What's good, Wagering World? It's your boy, Five Star in Vegas, broadcasting live from beautiful Summerlin, Nevada. I'm in there with my co-host, the only Sacramento Kings fan that I know. What's good? How you doing today, Spread?
Man, what an exciting game. And didn't we nail it on the head? I told you, man, you know, that's taking a page out of your book. And how many times during the football season did you just say, I'm going to cut this game in half? I'm a little worried about the ending. Anything can happen. This team's good for coming from behind. I think they're a better team. Let's just play the first half. And boy, am I happy I did that, because boy, I would have been throwing stuff against the wall. I mean, the way the Thunder came out firing, and just once again, it's like the Pacers don't get started till about 4 minutes to go in the game. Unbelievable game. And I think it's a lot of fun. Especially for all the people who are kind of down on this series, because I think this is going to be great basketball, and I'm excited to see two smaller market teams and two stars that aren't the typical first take, you know, discuss your legacy type of guys.
Right. Yeah. Really exciting game, man. It's so much to talk about and break down on that game, so we'll get to it when we get to the pass. I just finished watching Djokovic, the clients, and I had him to win one game. Just a really sad when you watch guys who were so excellent, and now they're, you know, father time has caught up with them, and they're not the same player that they used to be. Center played at about a C level. I don't know if he's hurt. We know he's a very fragile guy. I think that's why the PED usage was questioned by so many of his peers inside the locker room, because they know that he's always had these injury problems, and he looked to be suffering a little bit against Novak, but man, the GOAT could not take advantage of it. It's so weird to me for some reason, and I guess every Superman has his kryptonite, but Djokovic can never convert big points against center. I mean, center has a ridiculous hold rate against him. He just broke him in the second set, and I think before that he had held against him maybe like 28 times, 29 times. Ridiculous rate, especially when you got to say that Djokovic, if not the best, one of the best returners in the history of the ATP. Did you watch any of that match?
No, I didn't see a lot of it. I'm over here with my parents, and my dad hates Djokovic. He refuses to watch his matches. So
really? He doesn't like him that much? Why? Is he a Federer fan?
And he just doesn't like him. He's like, he'll watch all of them, except for if he's on, he just turns it off.
Wow. And I know your dad is a tennis
fan. He watches all the other ones.
Your dad will watch ITF.
And he'll watch the 250s like you watch.
Yeah.
Fast forward. He just doesn't like Djokovic. So, yeah, no, I didn't see that one. But what'd you think of Carlos this morning? He looked pretty good.
He recovered at the beginning. I don't know if he had a rough night in Paris or if he just was dealing with some things. But he did not look like himself. I left, went to the store, went and charged the car. And I told my wife, like, please wake up, because she was asleep still. And I was like, babe, can you get up, watch the kids real quick? I got to make a run, but I need you to watch this match because I can't put my eyes on it and let me know what's going on. And she texted me and told me it was over, so I was really happy about that. But when I left, he was kind of going back and forth. I tried to watch a little on the phone, but the store I was at, it was getting a really bad signal because, you know, you've been to my house, we're kind of like in the mountains, so if you're in the wrong areas, it just, you know, it won't pick up anything. So I wasn't able to stream it. But the way that center's looking now, man, I'm kind of questioning my center pick. You know, I had futures on Djokovic and Vever, so those investments are over with and dead. I didn't do good on the French Open overall. This is one of the worst French Opens I ever had, man. I usually knock it out the park. I think that the coverage was massive this year, and a lot of bettors who usually don't get involved in tennis got involved this year, so it was a little rough for me. But the way that they're playing right now, I'd say that I got to go with Alcaraz, man. I don't see him losing the center if center is playing in the form he played against Djokovic.
Yeah, I mean, the Alcaraz. I mean, one thing, though, is how hurt was Musetti? How much of him not having to try that hard is going to be an advantage? Because, yeah, it was a tough first set, but it was almost like perfect.
Yeah.
One, like, it's almost like what your coach would set up.
Yeah.
One high quality set, and then we'll just rest for the rest of the day, right? But I want to get a little competitive tennis in there. Second set wasn't even competitive. And then at 2-0 in the third, it's like, what's the point? So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see how it turns out. Of course, if you guys missed yesterday's show, we're both on Coco for tomorrow. So go back and watch that. The information is still good, but if you don't have time, we both like Coco Gauff, especially at the great price that we are getting. All right, before we talk more about the game last night, we meant to talk about this yesterday, but we were so excited, I kind of passed over it. DraftKings got sued for $14 million by a bettor who was using the weather to predict winning golfers. Give the people a quick takeaway from the story, because I hadn't heard about it. To be fair, I don't follow gambling news the way you do.
Yeah.
But I hadn't even heard about it until I read the article, and I'm sure a lot of the people watching the show right now haven't seen it. Quick background on what happened here, and go ahead and give your takeaway.
Well, you know, this is the wagering world, and when we say that, that means we encompass everything with wagering, so I have to keep up with all of the stuff that's going on with the laws of gambling and things like that, because this is my profession, this is what I do, and I always want to be within the laws and doing it the correct way. So I just keep up with the news about gambling. And one of the big stories is this guy, Nicholas Bovis, I guess is how you say it. He's from Iowa. Well, he studied these weather reports spread to determine that the rain would likely shorten the tournament at Monterey because it was raining in the Monterey, Pensacola. I'm sorry. Well, on February 3rd, 2024, as the third round ended, man, the bad weather threatened it, and it canceled the final round. And so it ended up the same way that this bettor had kind of predicted. He went on DraftKings, and he did a like combined stake of about $325. And his picks reflected that the players standing in the event at the time would end the way that they were, and they did because of the rain, man. And it ended up with him picking Wyndham Clark as the eventual winner, and he was. DraftKings boarded his bets, and they refunded his $325. They said a rule that they had on in their conditions said that any future bets that were placed after the last shot of what later is determined to be the final round are avoided. So since he came in after he saw, like, he was more basing this on predicting the weather, like, okay, the rain's going to most likely come through on the peninsula and stop everything. So since this rain's coming through, I'm going to go ahead and bet the exact order that it is right now. And if it ends by the rules, I win. So, you know, he did a really good job of finding a loophole in the system. So now DraftKings is giving him back the $325, but he has a really good complaint in his case. He's saying that if he had lost the bet, which we both know spread, DraftKings would have not refunded his money. They would have not given him back that $325 if the golfers had not ended in the exact order that he put them on these different tickets. So I think they're trying to weasel their way out of paying them $14.2 million. I say, you guys are billionaires. You're making money hand over fist. Like, how are you supposed to be a trusted book and not just really just a massive, pretty much shark if you're not going to pay this guy and he won fair and square? Because if you want to say, okay, he used a loophole, so what? You guys use a loophole. Every sports book new loophole is AI. That's how they've been killing us. You know, we saw when it changed from the guys in the back room making the numbers and things were about, you remember when we first started the show, we kind of talked about this spread, and I told you, like, hey, it's no longer like how you think it's spread, where they're just putting a number out to get money on both sides. They don't care about that. They are using AI programs to try to figure out, okay, what number can we put out here that'll get more people on the wrong side? And that's what they're doing, and that's a loophole. So I just feel like DraftKings should pay that man, and I really wish Mr. Bovis the best of luck. It's always us versus the machine on here, so we're never going to be with the machine, man. We're with the people, so I hope he wins that case, and DraftKings has to shit out that $14.2 million.
Yeah, and it's something that you talked about earlier, and it's one of those things where, you know, when you first brought it up, I wasn't necessarily sure, but boy, you hit it spot on with this idea of it moving out of Vegas. And where I really think it's bad is just the corporate mindset, right? I mean, and we've known for years these corporations don't care about their customers. They can put whatever commercial they want on TV and show everyone smiling and walking hand in hand out of the store as they, you know, buy a Toyota and save their life, but they don't care. And I think that you talked about it before. In the old days, because there was the street element, there was also the honor your word element, right? You can't make any money in the old days if you weren't a man of your word, because no one will place action with you.
Yeah.
And now you can see the way that they're running businesses. Bet365 has done this for years. Anyone who has a reasonable modicum of success is kicked out.
Yeah.
I mean, their business model is literally, we only take action from like complete degenerates that, like, you know, you and I, like, for example, let's just say I took the Thunder last night minus 10 and I lost. I wouldn't have kept betting because I didn't have anything else that I had identified at the beginning of the day. They're right. Targeting the people that are like, oh, I just lost the Thunder. Let me see what kind of ping pong is being played in Korea right now. Right. And they're just constantly trying to bet. And that's the only people they're looking for. So, yeah, it's getting worse and worse. And I really worry as these companies get bigger, you know, where does it go for guys like us?
Yeah. You
know, targeted more and more. Like right now, Bookmaker and Bet Online stand out offshore for not kicking out and limiting winning players. Those are the only two. And I can't think of one legal book that's that way.
No, you have to move smart here in Vegas. Like, you kind of know what I do, but I don't, you know, I'm not going to say it here publicly. Mostly I consult, but when I do make my own wages, if I want to do one that's pretty heavy, I'm limited at every book in Vegas. Like, everyone loves me, everyone knows, but they won't let me bet because I'm a respected bettor. So I can only bet, you know, a certain amount. The max that I could bet is about 10K at one of the casinos. The rest of those guys have me like at 2,500. One book has where I can't bet over like 5 books on tennis. So, you know, it's like, it's real crazy, man, where, as you said, they kick you out. It's all because of bottom line number. And that's what all corporations are about. You see your cell phone bill, you see your telephone bill. Ever since things went corporate, man, it's a million different charges. You don't know what they are. You can't argue, because what are you arguing with? It's no.
And you can't even get to a person, even if
it's a human element.
I had the same issue with Comcast when I moved. I went and I turned in my internet stuff. They tried to charge me for a cable box. I said, guys, I never had cable with you guys.
Right, right. But who are you going to speak to? It's no one.
And you can't. And they tried to send me to collections. It's just ridiculous.
Put it on your credit, and then it's like no way that you can win, because the credit agencies work with the corporations. It's like they've taken this thing. That's why I always say it's us versus the machine. You guys hit that like button if you're rocking with the wage world and you're in here right now with us. Please comment what you think about the way the sports betting is going. I've always said it's corporate betting now, and a lot of guys used to ask me on X when I started going on one of my rants about, man, it's corporate betting, it's killing things. What's corporate betting? Corporate betting is exactly what Spread just explained, what I explained. That's now they're using AI programs. Now it's a shield of people that you have to go through to get anything done. You're no longer dealing with the human element. Now it's only machines that you're dealing with, man. That's why people wonder what I'm saying when I say it's us versus the machine. That's one of the elements of it. You know, the machine as a whole, and what we deal with as regular private citizens, and also with what we're dealing with as sports bettors having to now battle AI in order to win these games, because it's no longer about a handshake. It's all about greed, man. And corporate laws have really enabled so many people to screw the little man. You know, it happens every day. And those $5, those $3 that you're paying unnecessarily on these bills and don't know what they are, they pile up and pile up. And you just imagine they're doing to millions of people, what kind of revenue they're seeing. And it's just really a hard thing. I was watching Golden Tate actually today before we get to the past. Golden Tate is considering himself a professional better now. And everybody was like, oh, this guy's a degenerate. He's talking about betting Japanese baseball and all of this stuff. And he kind of compared it to how I do. I compare betting sports to stocks. It's just a quicker return. But it's now with the system that you have and that you're facing with the machine, you have to find the places where the machine is lacking. You have to find the different portfolios that are weakened. That's why I love college sports. That's why I bet so much college basketball, so much college football, because it's very hard to cover 300 teams. It's easy to cover the 12 games of NFL on Sundays. And that's, you know, what I want you guys to understand. And best of luck to Golden Tate on that Like I said, he was saying it was more like stocks to him, and so he's smart enough to understand it's a quicker return. And what's the difference? It's still a gamble. It's just that now the money's in your hand instead of it being in a business's hand, or you having to pay all these fees over to these different stock sites, Robinhood or whatever it may be. So, you know, you guys continue to tune into the Wager World. We're going to continue to educate you on things, because our whole goal is for everyone to be a better when they come and watch this show. Let's get to the pass spread.
All right, Indiana Pacers, do it again. I mean, how much of a lead do you need to get? And we talked a little bit this morning, and I said that the Thunder are going to regret this. I bet the first half, and I felt they should have won that first half by more than 20. I felt they were getting the better shots, and they missed so many layups. They missed so many open threes. I said, this is going to come back to haunt you. And I'm so glad I bet the first half, because that way, that great comeback, first of all, it means we're going to get a more interesting series.
Right.
I mean, the last thing we wanted to see was 2-0 going back to Indiana. And I can't wait. And we're going to talk about it a little more. But boy, this Indiana team, they continue to come back from nowhere. Halliburton just has ice in his veins. The rest of the team knows how to step up defensively. You can't make a comeback without getting stops. So I know that Halliburton hit the game-winning shot. He wouldn't have been in that position without the great defense that the team had been playing and the way that Carlisle made all those adjustments at the second half. So you talked about it beforehand, and not even saying that Desjardins is a bad coach, but he doesn't have the experience that Carlisle does. That showed through. Talked about some of these younger players on OKC. How much is having I know Caruso won the finals, right? But Siakam, who was a key player on that team, how much did that help in the locker room? How much is having just a little bit more experience on that team with guys like Miles Turner, who's been in the playoffs for years, right? Chet Holmgren is his first real run. I thought all that stuff came home to roost. So glad that I cut the game in half. And now we can just look forward to a fun series. And we're going to look ahead to game two here a little later. But tell me what you saw last night.
Well, I was really excited because I'm already ahead now with the results, with me taking the plus 2.5 games with the Pacers, and also plus 500. That's why I do value bets, because, once again, these are stocks. If you look at it like that, like, then you're going to understand why I did that. I take the 500 because now I can go put some money on the Thunder, and now I can only make profit. You know what I mean? My money's protected and it's insured, but it comes from years of just making bets to understand how to do futures and understanding how to hedge and value and things like that. As far as the game, right before the game, I text all my clients and I told them, like, guys, I'm on plus 10 and I'm money line, but the money line and all of that, that's on me. I have a different type of bankroll than you guys have. So if you guys want to take it, that's on you, but it won't count towards the week. And I ended up where I hit all of it, man. And with this Pacers team, if you remember yesterday, I said you can never count them out. Why would I lay 10 points with the Pacers when the Pacers have been the best road team in the playoffs all year? The Pacers have done something now 4 times that had only been done once in the history of the NBA, and that's coming back from 9 points with 1 minute left. Last night, I believe they did the 9 minutes within, they were down 9 points, excuse me, within 3 minutes, and that was 1-182 in the finals. So this team has been a never-say-die team. It's one of those teams that just, it's their year, I feel like. And when you see certain things happen like we've seen with the special stuff at the end of the game with Halliburton, it's just, I feel like it's just that year. Sometimes you're destined, and this team is playing like it, but you cannot reach destiny without preparation. And I think that Rick Carlisle did a really good job. He had me panicking some, man. I was like, what are you doing playing Obi Toppin? Obi Toppin ended up being a really big contributor to this game and helping him get to the finish line because he looked a little shook at the beginning of the game, but he stuck to what he does and ran his rotation the way that he does, and he showed why he's a professional head coach with a ring, and I'm just a sports better sitting here in, something and trying to figure it out. But great job by him. Also, I've kind of understood and figured out finally OKC and how they're ripped. So at first I was like, why the hell, ever since the playoffs, I'm like, this team plays so aggressive on defense. They're always hitting your hands. They're always real handsy. They're always fouling, man. And I was like, how are they getting away with this? Does the NBA want them to win? No. What I figured out is their coach has came up with the same type of theory that we've seen Bill Belichick apply to his defensive backs and later Pete Carroll to his defensive backs. And that's, hey, commit pass interference, hold them every play. They're not going to call it every play. At the end of the day, these games are not only just to see who wins, but they're an entertainment package for TV. The refs cannot call a foul on every play, because if they do, it messes up the whole flow of the game. OKC has figured this out, and now he's telling these guys, and I could tell, man, hack, and they're hacking, because, like, you could literally call a foul on OKC on every possession. And on offense, they're the aggressive. You see, like, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander always forehand, forearm out. He's always pushing off. And I'm talking about clear extensions. They play really aggressive, man, and they've been taught by their coach to, hey, man, commit fouls, because they can't call it on every play. And that allows them to play really aggressive these playoffs. And smart by him, we talked about loopholes, he's found the loophole. The Pacers took a while adjusting to that. That was the issues. The Pacers weren't used to playing with that type of physicality that they were dealing with in the first half. And after they adjusted and saw, okay, this is how the ref's going to call it. And I think that Nembhard was kind of the guy who started that. You know, I love Nembhard, man. He's such a tough kid and such a great role player, man. And could do so much on the court. He got physical with SGA. You know, they're buddies. They go back from Canada. They both play on the Canadian team together. So, the national team. So, he was the one that kind of set the standard with the Pacers. Like, hey, man, these dudes are playing physical. We got to hit back. And after that, you saw Siakam start hitting back. You saw Turner start hitting back. And I was sitting on my back porch, man, outside enjoying the day. Like, man, am I going to get to this 10? Because remember, it was at 15 points, and the Pacers called a timeout with maybe like 12 minutes left, man.
Yeah.
And the only reason why I was not worried at the end was because after they got it within 8, I'm like, the Pacers are the best closing team in the league. They're going to win this game. And sure enough, I guess my stream was a little bit slower on my phone because I heard my neighbor, somebody down the street was like, yeah, like real loud, right? And I'm watching the game, and I'm like, damn, what happened? The SGA missed the shot. I said, oh, the Pacers must have did a walk-off. And next thing I know, Halliburton hit the bucket. But shout out to Coach. You know, Coach Ricky G, we have to get him on there pretty soon. Spread again. He's back rolling, and everything's good with his health. He was coming on the show a lot the last couple of years, especially during football season. We need to get him on to talk some basketball because he's an NBA guy more than anything. If he's tuned in, shout out to Coach. Coach tweeted something that really made me come up. He tweeted, I believe it was 18 turnovers down to only 12 points. This is crazy. And when he tweeted that, I said, you know what? I'm taking the Pacers again. And I took them at plus 680. So I was able to cash a whole nother ticket. So I owe you a tip for that, Coach. But I'm looking forward to the series. I feel like I'm in a really good position. And you know, it's a sports better spread. It's never a good thing when the whole world is on one side. And the whole coverage before the game told me that it was really one side, and they were acting like the Indiana Pacers weren't a team that has veterans like Pascal Siakam, like they weren't a team that's coached by the coach that actually has a championship. And sometimes I feel like the media is working with these books, because the whole time I'm watching, I feel more and more confident about the Pacers pick, because, like, these are pro athletes. It's always a chance. That's why they play the game. So I'm feeling real good about Indiana. I think they're going to shock the world. I still think that this is their year.
All right. Well, let's move on to the present. Let's talk about game 2 that will be happening on Sunday. Now, I'm told you something when we talked earlier, but I'm going to go ahead and just present it to everybody watching the show. Shout out to all the people watching. If you're watching on Twitter, we'd appreciate it if you head over just to YouTube, just give us a thumbs up and make sure you're subscribed to the channel. You'll be notified when we go live. Appreciate everyone out there in the wagering world. But game 2, 5-star. And I told you, this isn't a must win for the Thunder, 5-star. This is a must cover. And I know you're saying, well, Fred, you're better. No wonder you're worried about covering. Yeah, that's true. But they need to send a statement that was an anomaly, right? For example, kind of happened to them in game 1 against the Nuggets, right? They got out to the lead. They got kind of got sloppy. Nuggets stole the game. They ended up getting the series. But hold on, that was a I might be mixing up my teams here. Regardless, the ATS for teams that lose, home teams that lose game one that'll be favored in game two, it's around 70%. And I told you, if we had Ski on, you know, because he'll give you exact numbers, right?
Yeah.
Since 2004, it covers it 74% on a sample size, right? And I can't give that to you right now.
Yeah,
but it's a huge trend, and as old guys, we know the trends, even if we can't give you these specific numbers. It's a huge trend, and they got to follow that trend, because if they do not make a statement against the Indiana Pacers in game two and put some doubt in their mind going back to game three, like I'm saying, if the Thunder only won by game two by game three, by 3 points, I think they're in trouble. They really got to make a statement. They really got to blow them out, or Indiana's just going to be too emboldened heading back there. And if they take both game, both three and four, I mean, boy, even if the Thunder win by 20, they could be trouble. So good news for people who have Thunder tickets, though. Thunder were about as good on the road this year as they were at home. So this isn't a Denver Nuggets, Sacramento Kings type of situation where these teams can't play on the road. So Thunder have been pretty good road warriors, but in my mind, and I haven't placed a bet yet, Five-Star, I don't know if they're going to. But in my mind, the Thunder have to cover if they're going to win the series. What do you think?
The books agree with you, because it's so much money flying in right now. As I'm looking at all the numbers, it's a lot of tickets, man, and a lot of money that's coming in right now on the Pacers, not only to cover the 11 points, but also money line. I think that people are starting to side with me with thinking that they're a team that's, you know, destined to be the champions. And also kind of looking back and saying, wait a second, the Pacers haven't really lost any games on the road this year, so in the playoffs. So we'll see. But the books agree with you, because it's climbed to 11 points. I would probably lean playing the Thunder, honestly, just off. I come from the old school way of betting NBA playoffs with the zigzag. So most likely I would definitely lean Thunder for sure the first half. They should jump out early and play really well. I wouldn't be surprised if we see one of those crazy first half numbers. What are you seeing? I wouldn't be surprised if it's 7 or 7.5, even though the whole game's 11.
It's probably going to be 6.5. So I got 5.5 for game one. And then
if it's 5.5, guys, you need to lock that in right now. If you guys can get Thunder.
I think it's going to be 6.5. It'll be 6.5. It was 5.5 for game one. I'm thinking it'll be 6.5 right now.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't even know what I'm going to do. I don't even know what I'm going to do with this one. So
I won't be messing with them full game, because the Pacers have showed time and time again that they're going to come to play at the end of the game. They don't stop until, you know, the final whistle. Another thing to keep in mind about this game, you know, I'm big about just the other things around sports, the vibe. Man, Halliburton and Siakam were walking off the court, and the cameras picked them up going after the win, going to the locker room, and Halle said to Siakam, let's stay greedy. Siakam says, yeah, man, we got to come back. We got so much to work on. We didn't even play well. And then Halliburton says, man, let's stay greedy. He's like we didn't even get to give them our best game. They seem really like a really confident group, and they know that a lot of people are sleeping on them and their brand of basketball, because, I mean, even their star is a guy who's, what was he, the number one overrated player by player, so they don't take them too seriously, you know what I mean? And we also cashed on that game, I forgot to say that, about the over 33.5 with SGA, because just like I said, Carlisle was going to play them the same way they played the Knicks. Everyone else, I'm in your face. I'm not going to let you guys eat shit. You're not going to eat. You guys are not going to get any free open looks at the three-pointers off kickouts by SGA, because that's what gets that momentum going. SGA, if you can score 100 points, score. And that's what happened. And so we were able to get over the 33.5. OKC is going to have to make some adjustments. And another thing that people didn't consider going into this series that I did is that the Pacers pretty much played a team just like OKC before, with a ball-dominant point guard, a scoring first point guard, and they live by him being able to kick out the three-point shooters. So, man, I don't sleep on Rick Carlisle.
All right. So have you placed a bet for game two yet? Because I have not. I just know the Thunder have to win by a lot. Whether or not they will, I don't know, man. I mean, how many times do I have to underestimate the Pacers before I realize this is a quality basketball team?
I got to get more information. There's a lot going on till Sunday. That's kind of what happened to Ski. We talked about it this morning. What he gave out OKC, but he took him like the first moment that the line came up. And, you know, some guys bet early like that. I personally don't.
Because if you like OKC, you know they're going to take money.
Yeah, I just want information to come in. I like to get information. I don't usually send out my wagers to my clients till about 15 minutes before the game, and I personally don't bet till right before tip because I just like to see the movements because, just as we said, like investing, you have to kind of watch the charts and, you know, compare different groups and different, you know, numbers that you're seeing out there and kind of see what's going on. And that's all, once again, for me doing this over 20 years. So I've been doing this a long time, man, since I was like a teenager. So with me being a guy who's been in it so long, I know all of the little, you know, small things that you could do, the little loopholes that you can jump in. And that's what I use. That's why I only do it at the end. So, no, I haven't bet yet spread. I definitely will be playing some props. But what I will do is tweet out my plays for that on Sunday.
All right. Make sure you're following at Five Star in Vegas to go ahead and get those. Let's keep it moving in the present. However, this is going to be your segment here as we're talking about the Canadian Football League. All men in the past, I've handicapped and done some Canadian Football League, but I have not this year. Talk to me about the Montreal Alouettes, who are hosting the Toronto Argonauts. Alouettes laying 5.5 with a total of 48.5.
Yep, it started at 4. The number's running up, and it's running the right way. We will be playing an official play for Five Star, the Alouettes, -5.5. A whole lot of just reasons to like the Alouettes, but most of all, it's a revenge spot. The Alouettes, they outgained the Argos 486 yards to 390 yards last year in the East Finals, but still lost the game because they turned the ball over 5 times. Well, I guess that's why they moved off their quarterback. Now they're running with Davis Alexander. Cody Fajardo was their quarterback for a long time. They traded him. If I'm not mistaken, though, Alexander played in that game because I remember fading him and taking Toronto money line because I'm a big fan of Toronto's head coach. He's a guy that's been around the NFL, and he's just a winner. He really understands how to coach his team, had him ready in the playoffs. But he's a guy who doesn't care as much about the regular season. They don't have their star quarterback, Chad Kelly. He's finally back. Remember last year, spread, I told you on the show that he had got suspended for most of the year for, like, I think he was, like, had, like, a sexual. He approached a lady that was working as a coach on the team and was, like, flirting with her a little bit too hard. So it was, like, maybe, like, a sexual abuse type of thing. And they ended up where the CFL sided with the young lady, and they suspended him for most of the year. I think he had 10 games or something like that. But he came back for the playoffs and did well. But in the final game, he had a really horrific injury, and he's still recovering. He's back from the leg injury, but not enough to start this game. So they'll be going with Nick Arbuckle, who did a really good job in the Grey Cup and, you know, got them the championship. But I just feel like the Alouettes are a much better team. Kadeem Carey, who was a really good running back, who was a really good running back for Toronto, is gone. Now he's no longer with the team. So give me the Alouettes on the revenge spot. A lot of motivation from losing last year. And I think that their offense is a really solid offense. They have an outstanding receiver over there who really got a lot of run in the NFL. He wasn't able to stick it out and make it, but he's much better than the guys up north. So I like the Alouettes to cover. Give me Montreal -5.5.
All right, so let's take the Alouettes in our first game. Let's move to Saturday. The Edmonton Elks will be in BC. They play in Vancouver, right? Yep. Taking on Lions, total 49.5. Vancouver, how wild is that? Like, more expensive than the Bay Area for housing costs. One of the most expensive places in the world. Wouldn't have thought that. Anyways, do you think the Lions and their expensive housing costs will be able to defeat the Edmonton Elks?
I love it up in Vancouver. I used to go up there all the time. I had a cousin who was a DJ in Seattle, and I used to love going to Vancouver to mess with those beautiful women up there. And I used to be a young boy, about 18, running around with them up there, man. And we had some good times. So shout out to Vancouver. Back then, they had the Grizzlies still in town.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah, my cousin used to actually hang a little bit with White Chocolate with Jason Williams when he was playing up there. So they were doing things they weren't supposed to do together. So I had some fun up in Vancouver and the Seattle area. I like this game to go over, though, Spread. The total is really high, the highest of the weekend, and it's a reason why with the 49.5. For one, BC likes to play a really offensive first type of game. They love, you know, throwing the ball around. They ended up getting the kid back at quarterback, who was over there at first. He left and went to the pros for a little while. His brother just was the quarterback actually with Indiana, but now he's back up in Canada with BC doing his thing. I think that they're going to be able to put up some points. And then also, the Argonauts have a really nice quarterback in Trey Ford. He's one of those dual-threat guys, one of the few guys in the CFL who can run the ball from the quarterback position and really be a threat. Because most time, if you watch enough CFL, you know that they just like to do, like, quarterback sneaks. They don't really run the quarterback a lot, call a lot of, you know, run plays from the quarterback position. But he's a guy that runs like a 4-5. So I think that it'll be a lot of points in this one. I'm not too big on either one of these teams' defense. So give me the over 49.5 for the BC Lions and the Edmonton Elks. It used to be the Eskimos. They changed it to the Elks because you know how things are now. Everything's completely correct. Yep.
Well, I'm glad that they've done that. All right, the French Open finals. You know, everyone's so much safer now. The French Open finals. Coco Gauff taking on Aryna Sabalenka. We discussed this a bit yesterday. We both like Coco Gauff. Just let the people know why, because we both agree here. There's not – sorry, guys. We're not going to give you a Stephen A. Smith first take debate here. We're both on Coco.
No, we're both especially on at the
price. Even at minus 110 on both sides, I would like Coco. Yeah. And I'm getting plus 150. Yeah, I mean, this is
one. It's supposed to be an evenly matched. So the books are really trying to trap people to take Sabalenka because they know that Sabalenka is viewed as more of a, you know, big-time player. I don't know why people don't really – take Coco serious. I guess it's because all of the embarrassing losses she had in the, you know, finals at the French Open against Egan and things like that. But she was like, what, 18 at the time? So now she's a full-grown woman, 21, coming off winning the U.S. Open a couple years back, coming off winning the WTA finals last year. So I think that Coco is really blossomed and she's ready for the moment. She's one of the few ladies that not afraid of Sabalenka when she looks at her across the net and she can hit with her. She's one of the few that can go from the baseline with her power for power. As long as her forehand is holding up, I think that Coco will be okay. She really frustrates Aryna with the ability to get the ball back over. We know what kind of court coverage and defense that Coco plays, and she's one of the few ladies who can turn defense to offense. And that's how Swiatek used to dominate Sabs on clay, but she just doesn't have her game anymore. But Coco does. Coco is hitting at all cylinders. She needs to get in some first serves, of course. But long as her forehand holds up, I think that she'll be lifting the trophy for the first time in Paris. She already beat Aryna in a majors, you know, championship a couple years ago at the U.S. Open. And the crowd was with her. And it kind of, you know, hurt Sabalenka. And I think the crowd is going to be with Coco as well tomorrow. And we know that the French crowd is really an advantage. It's not like some crowds, you know, where you could tell more of the people clapping for one lady and not the other. And they really make some noise up in Paris at Roland Garros. And another good thing going for Coco, I think the roof's going to be open. It just was open in the men's match. They were saying about some rain.
Don't use the weather, five star. You better not use the weather. You're going to get all your bets voided.
Oh, I'm man, I'm telling
right? Can you imagine that if you went on here and you were like, let's just say the roof's going to be closed. We're taking Sabalenka, and they tried to pull this video. And right. Then unbelievable. Just complete the corporate gambling. You know, at first when you brought it up, I go, oh, whatever. Now I'm realizing, like, how bad it is, right?
It's bad, man. It's bad. I was just talking to Doug Costanate over at the Win. Shout out, Doug. One of my good friends, we've been friends for many, many, many years. And I was telling him, man, I was like, bro, well, this stuff is going, I don't know how long I'm going to still be in this, man. Because the reason why we still win, but you have to really pick spots now. And you have to pick a lot of stuff off the radar. Like, primetime games are so shady now. and so funny, man, and so hard to pick, man. I tell you, it's getting worse and worse. But, you know, this is the way to where, and we're going to keep you guys abreast of what's going on so that we can adapt and change so we can still get to the window.
All right. And so there we go. There's our WTA Finals pick. All right. It's time for the people segment, the ball and parlay. What do you got for the people?
Let's go. First of all, let's do a little Canadian football. We already said we're going with the Alouettes. You know, I love football in general. And I gave you guys yesterday, if you guys missed the show yesterday, I'm going with the Birmingham Stallions to win money line at home in the UFL playoffs. And I'm also going with the St. Louis Battlehawks to win. And then we got Coco at plus 155 as a show play. So that's four great plays for you guys right there for free. And also Sunday, I'll tweet out the props that I take for the finals.
All right. You know, we already gave it out, but there's not much. Like we said, we're both kind of taking a wait and see approach. If you just are dying to bet that game, I'd probably say go back to the Thunder first half if you're just dying to bet game two. But like I said, just follow us on the Twitter/X Machine. You'll get the plays when they come out. But one thing that's already in the account is Coco Gauff at plus money, and it's going off tomorrow morning. If you're out here with us, there's nothing better than tennis and coffee. It's just a fantastic combination, man. The whole world's still sleeping usually. You can really dial in on the matches. And it's something I've enjoyed since I've been about 10 years old. I mean, I've always loved these majors because back when we were young, Fyster, I didn't have cable. So this is the only time I got to see the players.
Yeah.
I didn't really know about the Rolex Masters 1000. And I didn't know about mine. Like, they might have mentioned it on the broadcast, but I only watched. I didn't even watch the Australian Open because I didn't have cable.
Right.
So I watched the French, the Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open, and that was it.
Right.
So, you know, for me, it still holds kind of a nostalgic to be able to get up, watch the tennis at 6 a.m., and you got your whole day ahead of you. Even if you're on the East Coast, it's 9 a.m. Guys, you'll have your whole afternoon ahead of you. So enjoy the tennis. Take Coco Gauff Moneyline.
All right, so we got Coco Gauff. We got Montreal Alouettes tonight, -5.5. We also have the Birmingham Stallions tomorrow. At Moneyline, we have the St. Louis Battlehawks tomorrow on Moneyline. And I'm playing a little baseball tonight. Me and the group really have been doing well on baseball. Just if you guys want to jump in, I'm taking the Red Sox tonight, Moneyline. They're plus 172. That's a great number to me. Like, them in New York, Yankees are always a rivalry. The Yankees have gotten the best of them lately, but I've been watching the Yankees, and they haven't been scoring a lot of runs. I don't think that they're hitting the ball really well right now, and the Red Sox are. I think that Alex Cora has his sign-stealing machine back in full effect. So give me the Red Sox, man, to get it done today. As always, I dedicate this show to my father, the greatest Houston sports fan that I know, and that's John H. Lindsay, man. I do this for you, Dad. We appreciate you guys for tuning in live, but please go to the YouTube right now and hit that like if you haven't subscribed to the show. We're going to start trying to get you guys a little bit more special with Wimbledon coming up, and for sure going through these NBA finals. We'll try to get with you guys right before each game, depending on how long the game goes. The series goes. Anything for the people before we get out of the spread?
Man, don't know when we'll be back next, but excited to be able to do another show with you, and we'll be back soon.
Yeah, for sure. Next week, we'll be back with you guys. But subscribe now. Go to www.thewageringworld.com for items like You See It's Us versus the Machine and other great high-quality merchandise from The Waging World. You also can sign up for a free play from Five Star in Vegas. Also, our DMs are open. If you guys have any questions, please always feel free to reach out and touch me and Spread. You know, we're all available. We ask our DMs. If you guys have any questions, need any help on things, let us know. That's what The Waging World is here for, to help you get to the window, man. Hey, guys, we'll see you guys next week. As always, it's us versus the machine, and we're going to continue to do this for the underground and the underdogs. This is The Waging World.